to the Lamb of God. In his book known as None of These Diseases, Dr. S.I. McMillan says, medical science recognizes that emotions such as fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, and hatred are responsible for the majority of our sicknesses today. He estimates that from 60 to 90 to 100% of the sicknesses we incur deals with the emotions that pour out of our lives. Are y'all with me on this morning? I read about one particular patient in particular who was told by his doctor, if you don't cut out your resentments, I may have to cut out part of your intestine. Fortunately, the man took the doctor's advice. He had been nursing a bitter grudge against a former business partner. And he went to see this man, resolved the differences, loved on him and forgave him. And when he returned to his doctor, the physical condition had indeed cleared up. That was a smart man. The reality is that what we fail to forgive and love keeps us bound to and by the past. Love and forgiveness will set a person free. Love and forgiveness sets the hurt person free as well. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in the text, Jesus is hurt by somebody close to him. If I can give the historical backdrop, just 2 days before the Passover, Jesus and his disciples are at Simon the leper's house. And many struggles are being teased out in this text. The first struggle is a social struggle. An unnamed woman anoints Jesus with perfumes and oils. The disciples aren't happy about it, y'all. Scholars believe that she was a woman of the night. So naturally, the disciples are appalled because this is socially unacceptable. How dare she rub the Lord's feet? How dare she massage his body parts? How dare she dose him down all over his body with oil on parts that a rabbi should not be touched? With a year's worth, I might add, a year's worth of wages in oil. Oil that she could have gotten from tricking in her trade. That's the social struggle. The second struggle is a mental struggle. On his mind was Calvary, the crucifixion, and the anguish that is attached to it. He was about to endure an embarrassment, a shame, and a disgrace that no man and no woman has ever endured. So it was weighing on the Lord's mind while he's getting ready to have supper with his friends. And to make matters worse, there's the emotional struggle. Jesus and his disciples gather to celebrate the Passover. He's about to play host in somebody else's house. And he drops a bomb that someone at the table is going to betray him. He's hurt. He's in pain. And he probably wants to be grieved. Yet he doesn't have time to deal with the emotions. Are y'all with me on this morning? However, instead of letting bitterness and resentment get the best of him, he allows the pain to serve a purpose and continues to love on the one who betrays him. I don't know where you are on this morning, but I reckon somebody in this building got hurt by somebody close to you. I reckon you let somebody in and you wondered at the end of the day, how did you get here? You let them in to the closest of closest. If we had to go spiritual on it, because some of y'all are real deep on this morning, you let them into your holies of holies. Ain't nobody got back there before. You built walls up And this person was able to tear walls down or go through your walls. Yet this is the same person that hurts you. We've all experienced hurt on this morning. Am I right about it, somebody? Yes, yeah, some of y'all could write a book, several books if we might add, about the hurt you've endured. But how do you transform that pain into purpose? Well, Jesus shows us exactly how we can do so by taking this person who betrayed him, this person he called brother, a person he loved like no other, and yet he still loved on him in the end. If I had to preach a sermon topic on this morning, I simply would call it learning how to love your Judas. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, learn how to love your Judas. Woo, I can see y'all getting tight up in here. What are we going to do with this text? Well, Jesus teaches us through this narrative, through this pericope. If we comb through the words of this page, he teaches us a lesson and demonstrates through his words and actions how we can all learn how to love our Judas. And the first lesson is this: true love covers offenses publicly and addresses them privately. True love covers an offense publicly and addresses them. Y'all quiet, that's good. Addresses them privately. It's right in the day in the text. Look at the text, y'all. Look what happens. Jesus drops the bomb, boom, kaboom, right in the room. And he says, one of you is going to betray me. Can you imagine the commotion that happens as soon as Jesus pontificates this off his lips? Everybody's starting to wonder, who did it? You know why? Because whoever it is, they're going to get a beat down. But look what Jesus does. There are two examples performed by the Lord that makes his statement of covering the offense publicly and dealing with it privately true. Number one, we see it in the discussion. The second thing, we see it in the dish. It's right there in verse 22-25. When the disciples were vexed and sore about the news, they asked the Lord, Lord, is it what? I. And the text says, he answered them and said, he who did this hand with me in the dish will betray me. But in verse 25, when Judas asked who was betraying him, Rabbi, is it I? The text said that Jesus, look at the text. The text said that Jesus said to him, you have said it. Which implies that Jesus didn't address them, he only addressed him. Are y'all with me on this morning? Jesus doesn't tell everybody what's going on. He addresses the one person about the matter because he doesn't want to expose them in the public. He wants to keep things private. Are y'all with me on this morning? He didn't address them. He only addressed him. He didn't go behind the back of the one who didn't have his back. He didn't even put him on blast. He simply, in a discreet way, addressed the one who did him wrong, but did it in a way that nobody else knew who the violator was. Are y'all with me on this morning? Well, the second thing, I like this part. You'll see it in the dish. Somebody say the dish. Yeah, if you've never seen anything like this before, you might want to write this down. Look at the text. When the disciples asked who it was who will betray him, Jesus replied, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. Jesus focuses on the bowl. Jesus, Judas, and the disciples use a common bowl in their meal together. Are y'all still with me? The bowl is not square. The bowl is circular. Are y'all still with me? And because it's shared with all of them, and because it is circular in nature, the bowl now becomes a symbol of intimacy as well as a symbol of a circle of trust. Because they're sharing together. Are y'all with a brother on this morning? Yet even when the trust is broken, in love, Jesus doesn't publicly name the offender or the one who violated the circle of trust. He simply leans over and tells them in the ear, "You said it, not I." May I suggest that not everybody in your circle is in your corner. God allowed the hurt to happen because you put your faith in the wrong people all the time. Seeing Jesus kept Judas close because he served a purpose. Jesus kept Judas close because he served a purpose. His purpose was to help him get to the place of elevation. But in order for that to happen, the circle had to have a breach in it, and the circle had to get smaller. Are y'all with me on this morning? If it had not been no breach in the relationship, then there would not be any pain. And if there would not be any pain, Jesus wouldn't have processed that into a purpose to go to Calvary. Come on, somebody. And I know some of y'all want to trust certain friends in this building. You want to trust the ones you eat with. You want to trust the ones you pray with. You want to trust the ones you have done ministry with for a period of time. But at the end of the day, God allowed the hurt to happen so that you will learn not to put your trust in them, but to put your faith in Him. Come on, somebody. Y'all gonna make me preach on this morning. Jesus never trusted any old body, y'all. Jesus never trusted any old body. How do we know that? Because John 2, 23 and 24 lets us know that when Jesus was performing miracles, that people believed in him. They were starting to parade about town, talking about his name. They were starting to parade about town, saying that Jesus could do anything but fail. But Jesus never let that go to his mind or to his heart. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Bible says that Jesus didn't trust the heart of men. And some of y'all need to learn from Jesus. Just because they smile in your face don't mean they won't talk about you behind their back. At the end of the day, you got to put your trust in Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus knows all about your sorrow. He will count until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And I wish I had one person in this building that could testify that when all sorrow is on my heart, when I'm going through all hurt, hell, and complaining, I won't turn to just any old body. I'm going to turn to somebody. And that somebody is Jesus. Jesus can take all my problems. Jesus can answer all my prayers. Jesus can heal all my despair. Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. Jesus can heal the weary heart. Jesus can ease the troubled mind. Oh, my God. So you got to take your problems to Jesus. Because at the end of the day, you got to learn that Jesus will cover your mess. Yeah, no matter what you've gone through and no matter who betrays you, true love doesn't let that mess get exposed to the public. True love covers that mess despite what they've done to you. Y'all not hearing me on this morning. Oh, man, let me see if I can make that plain. How many individuals in this building have babies? Let me see you raise your hand. How many of y'all have babies? How many of y'all ever taken care of babies? Yeah. A lot of y'all hands should have went up. All right. Yeah, some of y'all don't hear. Amen. And so, we've had babies, and taken care of some babies. Well, two things I've learned from babies. Number one, they are totally dependent upon you. Right? Am I right about it, somebody? Baby can't do nothing on his own. They know one word. Wah. That one word means I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm thirsty, you're getting on my nerves, I don't want that, I want this, so on and so on. Am I right about it, somebody?
And the second one is babies have no self-control. Question, would you allow a baby of 13 months of age go outside in some dungarees and Superman underwear? No. Some of y'all are like, wait a minute, dungarees? It's not a hard question. The answer would be an unequivocal no. Why? Because babies have no self-control. If they have no diaper on, if they just have these Superman drawers on and some dungarees, they're prone to make a mess. And they'll make a mess and everybody would know about it. But see, Johnson & Johnson made something called love. That way, when they made a mess publicly, no one would know it except the person they deal with privately. Are y'all with me on this morning? The Bible says that love covers the multitude of sins. And the reality is, despite the people who messed on you, you can relate because there was a time you messed on other people. But didn't God cover you in the end? If it wasn't for the Lord, everyone would know your faults. If it wasn't for the Lord, everyone would know your failures. If it wasn't for the Lord, everyone would know your flaws. But thanks be to God, His love is able to cover the multitudes of your sins. Come on, somebody. You ought to thank God for His love. You ought to thank God that He just doesn't love you yesterday. He loves you on Monday. He loves you on Tuesday. He loves you on Wednesday. He loves you on Thursday. He loves you on Friday. His love will cover you every day of the week. Somebody give God praise. Yeah. You ought to thank God for loving you. You ought to thank God for covering up your boo-boos. You ought to thank God for covering up your mess. You could have been exposed to the whole world, but true love covers the multitude of faults, failures, and sins, and love will cover us all. I'm preaching, but y'all not saying nothing, man. And so because of that, we learn that when someone has offended us, I'm not going to address it publicly. Because I love them, I'm going to deal with it privately. I can do a corporate message to everybody because everybody got some faults. But when it comes down to your stuff, I'm going to deal with you privately. Are y'all with me on this morning? Second thing I found out is that true love conceals emotions and exposes them sacredly. True love conceals emotions and exposes them, not secretly, sacredly. Somebody say sacredly. It's right there in the text. Look at what the Lord does. After everything goes down, look at verse 36. Where does He head? It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Look at the demonstration of maturity by our Lord. After He's betrayed by someone who He kept close to Him, He goes to a garden. Let me let that sink in right there. When He's betrayed by someone close to Him, the first thing He doesn't do is take to the phone. He doesn't start texting somebody. He goes to the garden. The very first garden mentioned in the Bible is the Garden of Eden. This is the Bible's version of paradise. And the term paradise comes from the Persian word for a walled garden. Now, although Genesis 2 does not ascribe a wall to this perfect place, the impression is clearly one of secluded protection, which is an image reinforced after the expulsion from the garden. Y'all remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they were expelled from the garden and it was walled off by flaming swords and angels holding them. Y'all with me on this morning? In other words, the garden was a place where the complexities of the world could not penetrate. It is a place where you not only communed with God and God alone, but you can also be vulnerable before Him and he would keep you from exposing yourself to others. Remember, when Adam and Eve first was in the garden, they were naked. They were exposing themselves. And you can expose yourself before Almighty God. The Bible lets me know that he walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. Come on, somebody. But it wasn't until they were expelled from this garden, this place of seclusion, this sacred space, that protection was now no longer in their lives. Are y'all with me on this morning? And so, if there's ever a place we need to seek when we're hurt, we go to a sacred place, a place where we can meet God, a place where we can talk to God, a place where I don't have to worry about who's going to make fun of my emotions or my feelings. I can expose them before Almighty God. Y'all with me on this morning? May I suggest that the reason as to why some people know too much about your life is because you're exposing yourself publicly before the wrong people. When you're releasing that built-up emotion over an accident or a transgression that has transpired in your life from a person who harmed you, you're exposing yourself to a sensitive area that everybody should not have access to. And the reason as to why they had access to you in the first place is because you wanted somebody to stroke your ego. Ain't nobody talking back to me. I know what it's like to talk about the hurt in my life and want somebody to stroke my back and to take a one-sided argument and to celebrate with me. Yeah, you wanted a cheerleader. You wanted a yes man. You wanted a person to co-sign on the mess that you were in. But the devil is a liar, y'all. Jesus shows us exactly what to do. He doesn't take to the hotline. He doesn't take to social media. He takes it to his Father in prayer. In other words, when people do you wrong, vent to God. When folk hurt you, vent to God. When folk talk about you, vent to God. When folk betray you, vent to God. When folk cause you pain, vent to God. When folk get on your last nerve, vent to God. Vent to God about everything, and God will cover you in prayer. Instead of going to that sacred place, what many of us have done is go to that social place. Instead of going to that secret place and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty God, we have gone to the social place and told everybody about our problems. And at the end of the day, we wonder why nobody wants to mess with us. Because you were messy in the first place. Ain't nobody got to know about what's going on in your life. Ain't nobody hearing what you're talking about. All they want to do is get the tea, but what you need is the bread in your life. Come on, somebody. It's not about the gossip, it's about the gospel. And at the end of the day, if you need your life changed around, you got to take it to God in prayer. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. In other words, the value of God's secret place is that he is so fortified and that he will protect every one of your emotions, every one of your feelings, every one of your problems that pour out of your life. And I don't know about you, but when I'm vulnerable and exposed before the world, I need God to keep me and contain me. Something might come out my mouth that I'm a regret. Something might come out of my heart that I'm a regret. After all, I'm still wrapped up in flesh, and in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. But at the end of the day, if I put my problems in the hand of Almighty God, God will thing out all right. Is there anybody here that knows that God hears your cry? He will answer by and by. Gotta talk to a friend. There's no friend like the lonely G. Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. When you got problems, you got issues, you go to the sacred place and not the social place. Amen, somebody. Y'all not hearing me on this morning. When you got problems, you go to the sacred place. You don't go to the social place. Because the social place will make a mess out of what you were already in. But see, God, here's the good thing about God. That no matter the mess I'm in, he will hide me in the secret place of his pavilion. In other words, he builds a sanctuary around you. Some of y'all saw the movie The Black Panther, and it was like that walled city. It was plain sight, but still invisible to the natural eye. And what happens in your life, oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit, is that he hides you in your problems in plain sight, although you're still visible right before your enemy. Come on, somebody. So he expects you to do the same with somebody who betrays you. Because after all, they're made in God's image. And sometimes, an image isn't ready. Let me see if I can make that plain. Before we took selfies, you know what I mean? Y'all took a lot of selfies yesterday, you know, on our trip. We took some selfies. Long before there were selfies, there were Polaroid cameras. And before you could develop the picture at your own desk or on your phone, you had to take it somewhere. Some of us went to the pharmacy. Or some of us went to a professional photographer. A place where they would develop the film. Now, in order to develop this film, it can't happen in any old place. It was in a secluded dark room. A place that only the professional was in. And while he works on the picture, it's being developed, oh my God, in the dark. But the moment somebody else tries to enter the room, it messes up, exposes the picture. So what I like about the professional is that he made sure nobody came into that room so that it wouldn't mess up the image before it came out. Y'all not hearing me on this morning? Psalm 32 said, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble and you surround me with songs of deliverance. Ain't God good, y'all? God has a dark room that we are able to take our problems to. If there is trouble around you, he will hide you. If there is trouble within you, he will conceal you. If there is trouble beneath you, he will shroud you. In other words, God has you in a dark room to develop you instead of exposing you to the world. And one thing we got to do as Christians who are made in the image of Almighty God is that when another person has betrayed us, instead of exposing them to the public, we need to let God develop them in a dark room. Why? Because he was working on you at one time or another. He was developing you at one time or two. And even though you were being developed by God, he didn't expose you to the public. Come on, somebody. So every now and again, you got to let God be God and let him deal with your betrayers. And in the process, you learn to love on them. Are y'all with me on this morning? I got clothes, y'all. So Jesus teaches us how to love on Judas. He shows us that regardless of the pain we feel, love covers a matter publicly and addresses it privately. You can learn how to love your Judas by simply following the Lord. And he gave us prime examples of loving on people despite how much they hurt us. Here's what I know. Pain is temporary. The love of God is eternal. Y'all hear what I say? Pain is temporal. But the love of God is eternal. How do we know that? Because he died for us. His love was so much that he died for us that we will have eternal life. He loved us so much that he took our place so that one day we can be with him in that place. He still calls you friend when it's all said and done. You know who's a Judas? I'm a Judas. I betrayed the Lord. I betrayed some people's trust. But God still covered us. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Now, here's the thing I need you to do. Drop your pride for just one second. Because here's the thing. Pride won't let you get the healing you need on this morning. As long as you think you were never a Judas, that you never turned your back on the Lord, that you never sold him out, you can't forgive those who broke your trust. Because you don't think there's nothing wrong with you. See, it starts when we look at ourselves. What's inside your heart on this morning? I seen what's inside my heart. I still got some loving to do. The only debt that we owe every day is love. And it's the only debt that never goes away. Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love him. Paul deals with public taxes and then with the private taxes. The public one is what you owe to the government. The private stuff is what you owe to people around you, your contacts. The people that hurt me, I owe them when I don't love on them. So when I choose not to forgive, I'm accumulating the debt every day. Are y'all getting this? But the more I say, you know what? You might have hurt me, but I still love you. My debt is being paid. Only when I mean it. See, some of us will say it, but we may not mean it. Jesus didn't trust the hearts of men because they honored him with their lips, but their hearts were still far from him. These scriptures are for our example. So you don't have to be that way today. Check your heart. Let's do a heart check. Have I really forgiven the ones who really hurt me the worst? If I have, then I love them. Somebody say, well, you can love them, but don't deal with them. Really? Jesus still loved on Judas. He knew he was going to betray him, and you know what he did? He sat and had a meal with the brother, too. That's crazy. That's love. See, he makes a table before me, the Bible says, in the presence of my enemy. You let God hook you up. You let God worry about the rest. Amen, somebody.